Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Peter Jones, and Sheila Hancock in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you very much indeed. Hello and welcome to Just a Minute. And once again, I am pleased to welcome back after a short break of Sheila Hancock. Let's come back to play Just a Minute in the fourth chair against our three regular male competitors of the game. And just to remind you, if you don't already know it, I'm going to ask each one to speak, if they can, for just 1 minute on some unlikely subject without hesitation, without repetition, without deviating from the subject on the card. And we begin this week with Peter Jones. Peter, the first subject we want you to talk about this week is fiddlesticks. That's a nice subject to begin the show with. So, Peter, can you talk to us for 60 seconds about that, starting now?
Bosh, eyewash, balderdash are euphemisms for rubbish. And they have a kind of Victorian air about them. When people in those times wanted to silence someone or wanted to indicate that they were boring the living daylights out of them, they used to utter one of these words. There are, of course, many others, like fluff. That's another one. And it isn't often used nowadays, neither are these others, because language has developed and become much more potent, and more words are permitted.
Clement Freud is challenged.
It was really a slip of my thumb. I'm sorry. He had said others and more so often.
I think we must be fair. I'll give it to you this time. More, two mores. So, Clement, correct challenge repetition. You get a point for that, and you have 20 seconds left, and the subject is fiddlesticks, starting now.
Were the fiddlesticks, quite apart from the phrase...
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, I think. It was a tough one, but I think just the benefit of the doubt this time, Peter. You have a point for a correct challenge of hesitation. 16 seconds.
I paused between two words.
But you paused long enough for me to consider it was hesitation.
Really?
Yes, yes. Oh. So, Peter, I agree with the challenge, and you take the subject of fiddlesticks, 16 seconds, starting now.
There are people who make violins, violas, and even cellos out of matches and walking sticks, and I believe even out of human hair. Now, if one of these instruments were made out of a stick...
Sheila challenged just before the whistle.
Well, I take it back.
It's too late, Sheila. You've got to say something
now. Well, he has said out of an awful lot, hasn't he? Out of matchsticks, out of human hair, out of... He said it every time.
Well, I didn't actually remember all these out-offs.
Why didn't you interrupt before, then?
Well, because I thought I'd give you the benefit of the doubt.
Oh, it's not. No good being patronizing.
No, I think when there's only half a second to go, I'm going to give Peter the benefit of the doubt. I tell you what, if he did say out of once or twice, we won't charge anything for it. We'll assume you didn't buzz, and Peter gets the point for speaking when the whistle went. Peter has a one-point lead over Clement Freud, and Sheila Hancock and Kenneth Williams have yet to score. In fact, Kenneth has yet to speak. So, Kenneth, we're going to hear from you now, and the subject which you're going to start with is Monday. Would you talk to us about Monday for 60 seconds, starting now?
You are certainly going to hear the truth. On Monday, I drove on a circuitous route, extremely dangerous one, which is used for training people in the Monte Carlo Rally, and in the process saw two horrible accidents all the way from the Haute Var down, down, down.
Clement Freud challenged.
Repetition?
You would say hesitation or something. I thought they were very kind. They didn't challenge on the second down. They waited for a third one.
It's such a good story. Yeah. I can't imagine him on that court.
No, going down and down and down. Clement, you challenged, and I agree, and you have, therefore, 34 seconds left on Monday, starting now.
Saturday night is the loneliest night of the week, because that's the night my sweetheart and I used to dance cheek to cheek.
Monday,
Friday gets passed,
you.
And then another week is passed.
Because it's his deviation. He's discussing Monday, he's discussing other days.
He's discussing Saturday, yes, I...
No, he wasn't.
Well, we couldn't hear it anyway, so if you...
Well, you must listen.
I was listening. I still
heard Saturday night
it.
Is the loneliest night of the
yeah,
week.
Yeah, we're
and all
talking
that
about Monday.
Stuff
that's
about
all
my
I
baby.
Monday.
You
know.
It's nothing to do with Monday, and I'd rather get back to me going down.
I think you quite clearly established at the beginning that you were talking about Saturday because you said Saturday is the loneliest night of the year, and I therefore think Kenneth's challenge is justified, and he has 29 seconds now on Monday, starting now.
And eventually I reached the city of Draguignan, which will be known to all the erudite among you
as the legendary home of Clemenceau of France, one of the great prime ministers of the country, who, in company with Lloyd George, went and killed...
Sheila Hancock's challenge.
Is he deviating a bit? It doesn't seem to be much about Monday, does it?
No, really? I don't know where she...
I was on Monday in Draguignan, which is the home of Clemenceau, prime minister of France.
Yes, you went there on Monday, but now we're off about Lloyd George and Clemenceau and Draguignan.
Well, that's better than starting at the beginning, which is all me drip-dries and all that stuff.
If you'd come back to Monday and establish that it's only on a Monday you were doing this, then I would have allowed it. But I disagree. I give it to Sheila. You have 9 seconds on Monday, starting now.
My washing occupies most of that day. I put it in the machine and stand and watch it going round. And then I hang it out on the line and...
You have leapt into the lead.
Ooh.
Alongside Peter Jones and Clement Freud. And Sheila Hancock, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is whitewash. Would you talk to us on whitewash for 60 seconds, starting now?
A long while ago, this was something I was quite fond of. I liked the look of white walls. But one day I woke up and felt as though I was living inside a deep freeze. And I went out and I bought a lot of wallpaper and covered the whitewash. However, if you want to engage in doing this thing, I will tell you how to start. You get a sort of brush thing that rolls backwards and forwards. Pour your paint into a little tray and rub it up and down the wall. It is rather dodgy, however, when you get to the ceilings because it's apt to drop on your hair. The thing to do is to wear a large hat. Another form of whitewashing is when people...
Peter Jones is challenged.
It's not a good idea to wear a large hat because you can't see the ceiling that you're painting. If you wear a large hat...
You don't have to see it,
it's ridiculous. You could wear a large hat like a mitre and you still see the ceiling.
You don't need to see it anyway because you know where it is. It's
a mitre.
You just do that, you see, with your hat down. Don't look at it.
Now you know why she decided to change the whitewash in her house. Because of the mess
that
she
made. What's a young lady from Ealing who walked upside down on the ceiling?
I don't wish to hear that kind of lipstick.
And Mother St. Rose, and that, I suppose, is a very peculiar feeling.
Well, after that little interlude, ladies and gentlemen, I have to announce that Sheila Hancock gets a point for an incorrect challenge.
Yeah,
she keeps the subject of whitewash. She has 22 seconds left, starting.
Oh, my God, have I really?
No, I said now.
Oh, I didn't say, I didn't hear you.
Peter Jones got in.
Hesitation.
Yes, a very long hesitation.
I was waiting for you to say go.
Actually, you spoiled your chances because you said, oh,
yes.
As I said now.
While
so
you were saying
yes.
Now, yeah.
So, Peter, I've got to be fair, you get a point for a correct challenge. Shut up, Sheila. There are 19 seconds left on whitewash, starting now.
You can use a brush and a bucket. That's the only equipment you need, and gallons of this stuff.
Clement Freud has challenged. Why?
Deviation.
Why?
A brush and a bucket is not all you need.
You need some whitewash as well, Peter. And Clement Freud has the subject of whitewash, and there are 14 seconds left, starting now.
In the game of darts, in which each team tries to score 301...
Peter Jones has challenged. Why?
A deviation. Nothing to do with whitewash. Game of darts.
Yes, now this is always my problem. If they do start off very definitely on another subject, how do I know when they're going to get to the subject on the card?
Well, he's only got 9 seconds from the start, so he can't...
So I think I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt.
Oh,
here.
Come on.
I think you've got to establish...
Whitewash is a darts term.
Is it?
Yes.
Well, I'm ignorant of darts.
Well, if you've never heard of it, it is a darts term.
You get letters about this, you know. I should be writing most of them.
I think a few dart players have been writing and sending in their points. Don't be sick in the audience, please.
I think if you don't know...
Was the young lady of Ealing or what? Right, Clement Freud, you have a whitewashed point there, and there are 11 seconds on the subject starting now.
When one team has won a game before the other has started, it is called a whitewash, and is incredibly ignominious to the loser who has to go to the bar and buy drinks for all those...
Just shows you to be chairman of this game, you have to be up in absolutely everything. Now, Clement Freud, at the end of that round, you have gained a very commanding lead over Sheila Hancock and Peter Jones, who are equal in second place, and they are just a little ahead of Kenneth, who is in fourth place. And Peter Jones, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is noughts and crosses. Can you go on that subject, or discourse on that subject, for 60 seconds starting now?
Well, you need two players, at least, and some paper and pencil.
Sheila Hancock has challenged one.
You don't need two players. I play it on my own. Truly, I do.
That's very
devious. I sort of try and forget what I've done. I do it very quickly.
But actually, Sheila...
Well, I think schizophrenia is a very delicate subject. And I shouldn't like to introduce it.
I'm inclined to give you a bonus point for that answer, actually, Peter.
Well,
anyway, actually, you're going to get a point because I disagree with Sheila Chan. And there are 54 seconds left on noughts and crosses starting now.
You draw two horizontal lines and then you draw two vertical ones.
Kenneth Williams has challenged one.
Repetition, you draw.
Yes, you draw. And you can't have two lots of draws in this game. Becomes only repetition, but almost deviation. Kenneth, you have the subject of noughts and crosses, and there are 47 seconds left, starting now.
A nought signifies, of course, nothing, and the cross generally means multiplication. Now, I'm very good at all this, and when I'm in shops, and they say, oh, gracious, what a lot I've got to add up here, I don't know how I'm going to manage. They just pass it over to me, dear, I'll get the old brain working on it, and within no time at all, I'll give them the answer. I have been referred to as a sort of universal calculator. To them, that very nation with marks will wax the unity of the eardrome in order to pass your siren safely. And all these things can be...
Sheila Hancock is just...
Deviation. He's talking rubbish.
Even if he isn't, it sounds like rubbish.
And I've heard him referred to a lot of things, but not as a whatever he said.
Yes, a human calculator. I think that was pretty devious, yes. Yeah. I bet nobody in any shop has ever said to Kenneth Williams, you are a human calculator! Yes, I disagree with that. Sheila, you have 8 seconds for noughts and crosses starting now.
You do need pencils or pens with which to fill in.
Kenneth Williams,
we've had all this. You need pencils and pens, and you've got to draw
a lot of
dreary.
We've had it, actually, Kenneth, but we haven't had it from Sheila.
No.
Sheila, I disagree with the challenge, so you have 4 seconds left for noughts and crosses starting now.
And you make your noughts going across on a diagonal or...
Well, Sheila Hancock has leapt forward at the end of that round into a very definite second place behind Clement Freud. Peter's now definitely in third place, and Kenneth is still definitely in fourth place. And, Kenneth, it's your turn to begin. And the subject, I'm sure Ian's thought of it specially for you, is Quintus Horatius Flaccus Horace. We don't want to talk about...
Flaccus.
Flaccus?
Two C's, dear.
There's two C's, but I still pronounce it as Flaccus.
Oh, well, you're wrong.
Surely Flaccus would be F-L-A-C-S-U-S.
Well, then why should A-C-C in accident be accident, then?
I'm not an etymologist.
Why wasn't Flaccus the god of wine?
I ain't. What's that little meaning? Who won't have it down on the ceiling? My mother said no,
You've given me the answer. It was the young lady from Ealing. She had an accident.
I see.
Yes. But I'm not an etymologist, and I'm no doubt it's to do with the fact that accident is derived from the Latin. Now, Kenneth, would you talk on this character for 60 seconds, starting now?
Well, like a friend, familiarly convey the nicest truth in the easiest way was a compliment paid by our own poet, Pope, to this gentleman, Horace, who was, of course, a Roman, and it is said forebears were slaves. So, you see, he...
Clement Freud, you've challenged why?
Bears can't be slaves. It's deviation.
He didn't say that, did he?
Forebears were slaves.
right, wicked,
Mama
clever...
Bear,
but you can't
help
laughing, can you?
You can't help admiring his ingenuity.
Really?
So what we do is we give him a bonus point for a clever challenge, but leave the subject with Kenneth Williams. He didn't deviate from the subject on the card of Quintus Horatius something else Horace. Starting now.
Well, he was the friend of the Emperor. Of course, not always the Emperor in his lifetime.
Clement Freud got in first.
Repetition of Emperor.
Yes, yes, I saw all their fingers go on their buzzers, but Clements eliminated the other two, because the first one to press eliminates the other buzzers, by the way, if you wanted to know that. Oh, good. Glad you're so... 28 seconds are left for Quintus Horatius Flaccus Horace, Clement, starting now.
In the pursuit of my classical studies, both at preparatory school and at later times in my education, I never knew...
Deviation, we don't want all this biographical rubbish about his schooling. Well, the subject is Horace, not his prep school.
Well, actually, I must be fair. You see, I do happen to know he did have a classical education. So, obviously, Horace probably came into it somewhere. So I don't think, even at this stage, he was deviating from the subject on the card, Kenneth. So he gets a point for a wrong challenge, and there are 20 seconds left, starting now.
I permanently referred to the poet Horace as Quintus Horatius Flaccus Horace because it took up more time, and lessons in those days, you will recall, were...
Kenneth Williams...
Deviation, we're still on the side of his schooling, not on the side of Horace.
No, he said that he was...
Taking up more time pronouncing his name, yes.
Yes, he's being very clever, isn't he?
Not considering the education he's had, I don't think he is.
We have not had a mention. We've not had a mention of the iambic. We've not had a mention of the hexameters. We've not had a mention of the satires or the epistles or any of the odes.
Wait.
He's just been going on a base prep school.
You keep buzzing me.
About that, do we?
I wanted to talk about heroic couplets. You keep buzzing me.
Oh, sorry.
Last, I'm so delighted I didn't have to do it. Clement and Kenneth have made it up. They've kissed and made up. So, Clement, you have the subject. 5 seconds left, starting now.
The Latin language lends itself terribly well to the heroic couplet and amateur.
So Clement Freud did really very cleverly keep going on the Horace in that round, and I have to be fair and accurate, and so he has leapt right forward and leaving the other three somewhat behind. And Clement Freud, we're back with you, playing the market. Can you talk on that subject for 60 seconds, starting now?
Quintus Horatius, Flaccus Horace.
Kenneth Williams.
This is plain deviation. I'm simply not having it. I'm not going to sit here idly while people just go round and round the subject. I mean, what's Horace got to do with playing the
well,
market?
Well, he probably played the market in Roman times for all we
get
know.
Get out of it. He was a poet on a Sabine farm.
Well, that means that Clement Freud considers himself a bit of a poet and he plays the market. Ladies and gentlemen, let you, with us, your superior intelligence and knowledge and wisdom, be the final judge. I must be fair, Kenneth did challenge very, very rapidly before Clement had a chance to establish anything. But if you agree with Kenneth's challenge, you can boo, which means Kenneth gets the point. But if you disagree with his challenge, you cheer and you all do it together now. I think... Quiet. All right, the boos have it. Kenneth, they're on your side. They obviously want to hear about from you about playing the market. You have a point and 55 seconds for the subject, starting now.
Well, the last time I played the market, I got a wonderful reception. In fact, they made me a present of Mornington Crescent and threw it a brick at a time. I was an enormous success in markets in Malaya and India and, of course, leave us not forget the New Territories area of China, where I was an enormous success as the
president. Sheila Hancock has challenged.
Deviation, I just don't believe all this.
You mean you don't believe that he was a great success in the markets of Red China?
Well, not really, no.
Nor do I.
Fair enough.
Sheila, Peter Jones, what do you want to say?
Well, I know somebody who actually saw his performance, and it embarrasses me to go into it. I'd rather not say anything, actually. I won't say a word. That's the best thing. The most discreet thing I can do is to button up and be absolutely silent about it.
But you have been for the last 5 minutes, Peter.
Yes.
It's nice to have heard from you. All right, we'll give you the benefit of the doubt, because it appears, thanks to Peter Jones's verification, that you do play in a market there. So you have 35 seconds on the markets of Kowloon. No, playing the market... Starting now.
I had cars that are so honest in Cairo, and when I was there in 1936, I... my wristwatch on the lamppost. And the other bloke said, when you went back, was it still there? And I was supposed to say, no, the lamppost wasn't, but the watch was. And I said, the lamppost was, but the watch wasn't. Which was very funny, because it ruined his work, you see. And he had this kilt, and he made up an S.
Yes, there was a young lady of Ealing. Sheila, you have challenged.
Deviation, that isn't anything to do with playing the market, is it?
Well, why don't you have him on repetition? He said the...
Repetition, yes, that's what I meant.
I think I agree, actually. I agree on even on deviation that he's not playing the market now. He's he's fooling about in the marketplace. Yeah. Sheila, I'm with you on this one. You have a point and you have 14 seconds on playing the market starting now.
Take it in the sense that you mean the stock market. I am singularly unsuccessful at this. I've only ventured it twice and both times the firm went bankrupt. So, therefore, my bank manager said to me, will you do me a favour and not...
Well, everybody gained points in that round, except Clement Freud, but he's still very much in the lead. Sheila, your turn to begin. The subject is sweet peas. Would you talk to us on that delightful subject for 60 seconds, starting now?
These are the ones that come straight from the pod in the early pickings. They really are sweet. And to make them even more so, you add a drop of sugar with the mint when you boil them. Also, they are a most adorable flower with a perfume that's unbelievable. At the moment in the country, they're all blooming, and it's a lovely sight. They're all colours of the rainbow, and they're...
Clement Freud has challenged. Why?
They're not.
What?
All colours of the rainbow.
No, I don't think they are all kind. I don't think they're blooming now either, Sheila.
They are.
The sweet peas are blooming in Gloucestershire. We are for the evening dew.
Right, there was a young lady who walked on a greenhouse ceiling. Right, Clement, I agree with your challenge. The subject is sweet peas. You have 31 seconds left, starting now.
Sweet peas are flowers which are very seldom given to people as buttonholes, because orchids, daffodils and rhododendrons are considered more suitable. I find this...
Peter Jones has challenged.
Absolute rubbish. Of course they aren't. Rhododendrons aren't suitable as buttonholes.
No, of course not. Whoever thought they were. A rhododendron in a buttonhole? If a sweet pea's not suitable, there's certainly a rhododendron isn't.
Depends on the button.
It depends on the hole, too.
Nick, are you challenging me?
You can ask.
Yes. No, I agree with Peter Jones's challenge of a sweet pea.
On your proclivities.
The program is breaking up. Have you noticed?
Ages ago it broke
Come
up.
On our side.
I wasn't aware, actually, at that particular moment that Kenneth Williams was actually speaking rather quietly in one of his character voices. If the listeners at home heard him, I apologise for speaking together, but we'll just carry on as best we can. Clement, I agree with Peter's challenge, so he gets the subject of sweet peas, and there are 20 seconds left, starting now.
Sweet peas were, believe it or not, first cultivated in Wem in Shropshire, where I was born, by a firm called Eckford's. Florists. They're out of business now, so I'm not advertising them. And they made the mistake of selling seconds, which they distributed very cheaply, and then everybody in the world who wanted to
Peter Jones was speaking at the end of that round, so he gained the extra point. And alas, with sweet peas, we have to wind up the show because we have no more time. To tell you the final result, Kenneth Williams was only just in fourth place, 1 point behind Peter Jones, who just went into third place again on the last round. He was 2 points behind Sheila Hancock, who was quite a number of points behind this week's undoubted winner, Clement Freud. Hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute, and we'll want to tune in again next time. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Simon Brett.